All right, so let us call this Thursday, October 12th, 2017 meeting in the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Chairman Noe?
Here.
Chair Randall?
Here.
Supervisor McKay?
Here.
Chair Fassett? Mayor Silverberg? Mayor Parrish?
Here.
Mayor Meyer? Councilmember Schneider?
Here.
Mayor Rochelle?
Here.
Senator Black?
Here.
Delegate Hugo?
Here.
Delegate Minshew? Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Cole?
Here.
Mayor Burke? Ms. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Roseberg?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have four.
Fantastic. Okay. First action item is the minutes of the September 14th meeting. Any comments, questions on that?
So moved.
Second.
Motion for Mr. Parrish, a second for Ms. Mitchell. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Consent agenda. Okay, we have five consent agenda items. I am going to pull two of them. We're going to pull item 4 and item 8. So we have items 5, 6, and 7. Does anyone like to pull any of these others for questions? Okay, do we have a motion on the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda, Mr. Chairman, and unless I'm happy, a second.
Right. Motion for Mr. Parrish, second for Mr. McKay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I will note we do have with us one of the items we just approved. Item 6 was the approval of our bond council service agreement extension. I'll just introduce Arthur Anderson as our bond council, who we don't have occasion to see very often, which
right.
I think is a good thing.
That'd be a problem. Yeah. But thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity to serve.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, just a comment, if you don't mind, the Finance Committee, of course, met and discussed most of these items that are on the consent agenda and recommended approval, and so thank you, Finance Committee members.
Okay. All right, so going back to, let me start at the bottom and work the way up, or actually, no. So I pulled items 4 and 8. Item 4 I pulled because it's actually out of order on the agenda. It should come after item 9. It's not germane until item 9 passes or is passed. Item 8, I'll go to Ms. Backman.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason why we requested that be pulled from consent is that we did hear from Deputy Secretary Donahue regarding additional comments that your staff had regarding the proposed smart scale changes. There were three outstanding comments that were made at the last RDAC meeting, one being about needing to understand the proposed methodology behind the land use changes. Number 2, re-looking at economic development and what that means for Northern Virginia. And then the number 3, which was the big one, the Secretary's office were proposing changes to the way they did the congestion reduction methodology. Hearing from Deputy Secretary Donahue yesterday morning via email, he says that he's going to remove the proposed changes to the congestion reduction. So that's no longer an issue. They will keep that the same. He also stated that he will come and meet with any locality or agency that has questions regarding the methodology and how the land use calculations and economic distress areas will be assessed. And again, we did submit your original comments from last month, so those are still on record. So at this time, we don't feel that we need to submit additional comments.
So no action needed on that?
No action.
Okay, fantastic. Just erase that off. Okay, to the heart of the matter here tonight, our action items. First non-consent item, I suppose, is the adoption of the transaction update. Ms. Backman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, so we are on the very last leg, if you will, culminating the end of a 3-year update process to your transaction 2040 plan. Transaction 2040 and transaction is long-range multimodal regional transportation plan for Northern Virginia. We actually did a kickoff this time 3 years ago. It was October 2014. We held a listening session in the City Hall of City of Fairfax just to try to get an idea from the public what were some of their transportation issues and concerns. Again, transaction addresses regional transportation needs over 25 years going out to 2040. It focuses on 11 corridors and 28 segments. transaction considers travel conditions for the planning horizon of year 2040. We're looking at some of the data that we received from COG. Population for Northern Virginia is expected to increase by 24% and employment by 37% by the year 2040. Again, if only currently fully funded and committed projects are built, travel conditions are forecasted to be considerably worse by 2040. Based on information received from the public in your benchmark surveys, we did a tracking survey, we did pop-ups, we went to churches, schools, fairs. We really tried to go out to the people instead of having the people just solely come to us during your public comment period. You did have a public hearing. The public comment period started June 9th and closed July 23rd, but we really tried to get out to the public regarding what's the transportation concerns for Northern Virginia. In this draft plan is inclusion of all 352 candidate regional multimodal projects in transaction. Now, one thing I want to note is transaction does not commit the authority to fund anything. Transaction, if the total cost, and these are planning level costs, is roughly $42 billion if you were trying to undertake all 352 projects. Now, while you can use transaction to guide the programming of your six-year program, because you have to by law, you cannot fund all 352 projects in transaction, and transaction is not your planning document. Transaction is, or I should say, transaction is not your programming document. Transaction is your planning document. Two important things about transactions. It is fiscally unconstrained. Like I said, $42 billion. You don't have $42 billion. I doubt if you will have $42 billion 25 years from now unless there are other funding sources that come into play. But it's fiscally unconstrained, and in a lot of ways, it's geographically unconstrained. Again, it's more of a needs-based document. So again, this is your first update of transaction since HB 2313 was adopted. You do update transaction every 5 years. Starting in some, the quote-unquote oldest long-range transportation plan for Northern Virginia, it was the Northern Virginia Transportation. I think there was a 2010 plan, then there was a 2020 plan, which predated the authority. When the authority was created, you did transaction 2030, transaction 2040, and now you're on your third iteration, which is the first since the passage of HB 2313. The draft plan, and I don't want to spend too much time talking, but the draft plan and the associated project list is included in your packet. We did present the draft to your planning and programming committee. We went to the technical advisory committee, your planning coordination advisory committee, and the transaction subcommittee, and we are recommending adoption of this plan this evening.
Okay. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I want to say thank you and congratulations and to the staff. You all have done just a magnificent job putting transaction together, walking the authority members through things. I know that if other authority members are like me, we've called you all just to ask questions. And so the time and effort that the staff has put into this has been just remarkable. So I wanted to say thank you and put that on the record. I have a couple of questions. Most of them are about the bridge crossing. The first one, which is going to sound a little shocking to the room, but tell me, I have two questions. I'll go one at a time. Tell me what would be the harm of pulling the Potomac River Bridge out of transaction right now, tonight?
Well, the way we did transaction, there's no project that stands alone. The projects were evaluated on your 11 corridors, and then they were further analyzed on the 28 segments. So if you choose to, as you could, remove a project from transaction, we would need to go back and do some additional model runs because it changes everything. Because, again, no project stands alone in transaction. We did it by corridor and segment level. So we would have to go back and do additional model run.
I sit on COG. And because I sit on COG, I know that the Montgomery County Council made a point to vote before a COG meeting to vote against the Potomac Bridge crossing, and they voted against it as unanimous block vote. We, of course, don't know who will be sitting in that seat after Mr. Leggett leaves, but we know who's in the pipeline. And I know right now that the front runner, Mr. Verlander, made the statement, and I quote, "There is no reason for any politician in Northern Virginia to spend one nanosecond thinking about a bridge crossing." So knowing that there is not the will on the Montgomery Town Council, knowing that the possible, and it's of course possible, county exec has completely shut this idea down, and knowing some of the pushback against it, what is the logic of us passing passing the Potomac River crossing in transaction?
Well, I want to start and state again that transaction is not your funding document. It is a 25-year planning document. You don't fund projects just because they are in transaction. It is needs-based. You look at what's projected. We look at the baseline today, what the region will look like in 2040 if all of the committed projects, and committed being projects that have full funding, what they in the CLRP, what they would do for the regional network by 2040. And then we added the 352 projects because the data showed us that even if you constructed every project with committed full funding in the CLRP, we still have some serious congestion issues because you have to take into account the increase in population and employment. However, having said all of that, this is a document based on needs. It's not based on funding. If you adopt transaction this evening, we do have an item on the agenda, which is the call for projects for your six-year program. That is your funding document. Transaction, again, is based on needs, projected needs. You update it every year. It's a 25-year plan. We understand that governing bodies change. You know, one day someone may like a project, one day someone will not like a project. I do want to note that your technical advisory committee said there should be no winners and losers in transaction because this is essentially needs-based. It's not about what you can fund. Now, if the project were submitted for your six-year program, that's when we would have to have some serious discussions because that is your funding document.
I understand. Thank you.
I have a question. What is our authority as members in terms of making modifications such as Chairwoman Randall mentioned?
Well, transaction is the long-range transportation plan for Northern Virginia. You're responsible by law for developing and updating transaction, so you could very well choose to make the modification, just with the understanding that if you do so, I am going to come back next month and ask you for additional funds to do an additional model run and present a new schedule before you.
But I'm talking about if we remove something.
Yes, you can very well remove it, but I just want you to know that we will have to go back and do some additional model runs and things of that nature, and we will have to change the schedule.
Let me make some clarification on that, make sure we're on the same page. This authority can adopt. We have total autonomy over what's in transaction.
Yes.
We can have projects in it. We can have projects out of it. The action in front of us tonight is approval, acceptance, really, of a specific version of the document that has been scored.
Yes.
Because one of the things we're doing here is we're scoring all 357.
The 28 corridors. We have
28. We're scoring the 28 sub-corridors,
yes,
for their congestion relief potential based on these projects. If we were to remove a project or add a project tonight, that scoring would become less robust.
Yes.
The point being that we can remove things from the, and please don't get me wrong, we can remove things from the plan, but then what we can't do is remove things from the plan and then adopt the plan.
Correct.
And we'd have to, we could say we're going to remove something from the plan, then we have to go back to the software, get everything rescored.
Yes.
And there's a process that would be associated with that.
Yes.
And a cost.
And a cost.
There is a cost.
Okay.
We would need to pay the consultant to do that work for us.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, question. Is it required by law that we go back and redo this?
if you amend the plan, is there a requirement in the law that you do that? Or is that something you want to do?
I don't think there's a requirement in the law. I think that,
There isn't a requirement in the law per se, but the data
would not have to be valid.
I would suggest that we would not have to do it except insofar as if it is our intention to use the scoring in this document as our HB 599 scoring, we would have to do it because our HB 599 scoring must be certified for its legitimacy, its robustness by VDOT.
That is correct.
There's no law saying we can't do it, but then certain parts of the document may not be verifiable for their...
And I would even add, especially projects of that magnitude, I would dare say your scores would change. You know, how the segments, the corridor segments fare, the scores that are listed in your document will probably not be the scores if you remove certain projects. It may trigger another public involvement process. I just want you as the authority to be aware of what happens if you decide to remove projects from the plan this evening.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Please, absolutely.
So, I appreciate all the work that y'all have done going through this. You mentioned that y'all have done a number of public hearings. One of the most controversial segments has been the Bi-County Parkway. Did y'all have any hearings in Western Prince William?
We didn't have a hearing. We had one public hearing, and that was here at the authority. We had town halls throughout the region that the
local,
not that I recall, I came and presented to the Prince William Board. The localities informed us if they wanted a town hall or a presentation to the governing body.
Sure.
So I know you went through, and I appreciate all the work. So in the public comment period, what were the comments numbers on the Bi-County Parkway?
I think
for and against?
Keith, do you have the exact
numbers? I think
you
noticed
numbers?
It overwhelmingly against.
We did get a lot of comments against the Bi-County Parkway.
Was it like 196 to 12 or something like that?
He can pull that.
Whatever. Is that about 5% for it? I'm trying to do my math. What was it?
For the Bi-County Parkway, there were 208 comments, 12 in support, and 196 opposed.
What's that? Is that a percentage? You know, that's kind of low, isn't it?
That's a percent of opposing is
6%.
That's about 94%.
Mr. Chairman, that's a follow-up question.
Please.
So on the... We've got 28 projects looking here, already scored, performance scored from 65 to 59. The Bi-County Parkway appears to be only one of two in single-digit scoring. Is that correct?
But in that segment, the projects in that segment have some of the lower performance score ratings with your 15 performance measures compared to the projects in the other segment. But it's not the Bi-County Parkway specifically.
North-South Corridor Bi-County Parkway.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I got a follow-up question. So this is the Bi-County Parkway that was taken off Prince William's comprehensive plan and still opposed by a number of Prince William supervisors that I talked to today. That it goes through their district, isn't it? Same one?
This is.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, a follow-up question. So is the road still going to close down 29 and 234 under this proposal? I know y'all amended it in subcommittee.
Right. So, Keith, could you speak directly to that? We did amend it because we wanted it to be consistent with the programmatic agreement that was last developed regarding that particular
agreement has lapsed, though, hasn't it?
It has, I believe.
So we want to be consistent with a lapsed programmatic agreement. Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
The draft version that was presented months ago had language taken directly from the programmatic agreement,
yes.
Which has lapsed.
Yes.
Since then, and to be clear, the language was put in, that particular language was put into this draft because it was just lifted from the previous version of this, of Transaction 24.
That's the one that closed 29 and 230.
That language would have closed that intersection. It was lifted from there and put into this draft. Bluntly, it wasn't, not much thought was given to the language, just carried the language over. when it was actually bluntly pointed out to me by a Prince William County resident that that language was from a document that has since lapsed,
yes.
We changed the language to remove any reference to the closure of the 129.
May I have a follow-up question, Chairman? So you've got now taken out the closure of 29234, and you've included a battlefield bypass. That's correct? Come on down. So you've taken out 29 and 234 closure in this amended document, but you've also added a battlefield bypass. Is that correct? Let me just say it is correct. So what you've done, so here's the question. So Mr. Chairman, I met with the superintendent of the park today, which was an interesting meeting. So, I mean, the park, to his credit, they want 29 and 234 closed. I got it. You've added a battlefield bypass. That's always been your closure of 29 and 234. It's been presupposed that you would get the battlefield bypass. Now you've got all three, the Bi-County Parkway, keeping the closed, that intersection open, and the battlefield bypass. Park Service is never going to agree to leaving that open, are they?
They probably won't, but this is the great thing about transactions.
Tell me the great thing.
It's a high-level planning document. It is not designed to provide engineering-level detail. Only when you get to your programming document for funding will you get into specific engineering-level detail.
Now, this is, Mr. Chairman, question. This is not engineering. This is saying what they're going to do, because you have to always in the past, the battlefield bypass has been presupposed by the closure of 29 and 234. You don't have that in there anymore. You build, and here's the other question, Mr. Chairman, that I'm trying to figure out. So for a decade, people messed around or were interested in the Bi-County Parkway. You knew where it was going. It was a discrete route, and it was set. Where is the route now? It doesn't seem, it's just kind of amorphous. So
yes.
And it's in the battlefield bypass is amorphous. So it's just somewhere within the rural crescent, but unlike the previous plan, you don't know where it's going, Mr. Chairman. So now instead of having some people upset, everybody thinks that they could be the target of this road is exactly what they've done now. Is that correct? So you don't know where it's going. You just said that.
No, I didn't say I didn't know where it was going. I said it closed is 234, not 29.
Where's the road going? Where's the Bi-County Parkway?
You want the termini? Again, I want to be very...
For a line.
Where's the route?
We don't have the line.
I don't have...
But you had a route. You had a route previously.
We had a termini. That's what we have, a termini. To get into some specific alignment is a look. That's different from having a termini in your planning document.
I'm gonna answer a little bit.
Yes, sir.
I think it is correct that under Transaction 2040, the assumption was that it would be a very specific alignment, the one in the programmatic agreement that has since lapsed. It is correct to say that there's no longer in this plan a specific alignment. There are many, many projects in this plan that don't have a specific identified alignment. Most significantly, frankly, the Route 28 congestion relief project in Prince William County that provides congestion relief from historical town Manassas up to Bull Run, where there are where there are 11 different alternatives being considered, we've functionally narrowed it down to four.
Yes.
But what we're looking at in these cases is termini. If you connect point A to point B within this document,
yes.
If you connect point A to point B, regardless of zigging or zagging, you connect point A to point B, how much traffic can it carry? That's all this is evaluating. And Bi-County Parkway would be one of the many projects where all this being evaluated is the connection of those termini, not alignment.
Chairman, yeah. Question. So one thing, so there's not a discrete route. We determined that. Thank you. So the one thing that is a concern is that you've got now all these people thinking the target. So all of their homes and their properties are potentially devalued, because people won't want to buy it because they're not really sure if the road's going to go through there, and you're leaving them hanging is what we're concerned about. And here's the interesting. How are we going to pay for this potentially? Because I know there's developers out there, for everybody concerned about sprawl. One of them came and said, well, what we can do is we can have the developers pay for it, and it'll be a new RESTA. We'll have TDRs, transfer development rights, and high density out in the Bi-County Park, in the Rural Crescent. that's what they're seeking. And so, and then when we have high density out there, that impacts Loudoun, that impacts Fauquier. I mean, that's a serious problem that this is setting up. And that's why I think we have a number of people that have concerns about this. And I've got one. Is there anything, this is a specific question, that was a comment. Is there anything else that's been added to this new thing since when we saw the original? Any other projects? I know some have been changed a little bit. Anything new added?
To the project list?
Yeah, to this whole project list.
We added a Herndon project because the scale, according to our consultants, was minuscule in that we can add that project without affecting the modeling results.
Sharon, follow. Was there what is 245? That's the Gum Springs Road widening. It seems like it come right at
the. You mean the transaction project ID 245?
I didn't see that in the original one because it kind of looked like it went from 244 to 246.
So we made some shifts. We didn't. The only added projects were the Herndon project. When you last saw this list at the authority meeting, it was 358 projects. We saw that we had some duplicates. So that's why you see 352. We had some duplicate projects, and we had to remove some because they were duplicative per the project list.
So Gum Spring Road, Ms. Chairman.
So that's not a
road,
new project.
So Gum Spring Road widening was on the previous
yes.
we saw? It just wasn't 245 at the time?
Yes.
Ms. Chairman, I just think, like you said, you're setting this up for sprawl. The people have come and said, the developers came and met with me. They were just straight up as can be about it. We said, we want high density out there. And we will, one of them said, I said, what's your vision? Well, a new Reston. Reston's a great place. Nothing, no disparaging Reston. It's a wonderful community. But do you want Reston here in the Little Crescent? What you're setting up is two things. One, you're setting up high density development. And two, you're devaluing these people's properties. I had somebody call me last week, said, Tim, we're thinking about moving out there. We're not sure if the road's going to go A, B, C, D, or E, because we see the transaction plan setting it up. And so we're hurting these people that I know you have told people this road may not get built, the probability. And it's a seven. We have projects. We have 26 projects ahead of it on the list. It's one of two that's single digit. It's a 7.7. And we're gonna torch these people and their property for a project that's 7.7. And that's exactly what we're gonna do tonight if you agree with this. And Ms. Chairman, I think this is wrong. I'm gonna make a motion to if you tell me 240 Gum Springs Road in there, I do not want to mess with anything in Loudoun County and have my chairman friend not speak to me and take me off the Christmas card list, even though I do think that brings a four lane right down to Sudley Road, and it's aimed right at the Sudley Church, Methodist Church. But I want to stay on the Christmas card list forever. But I'm going to ask that we delete on page 3 of the transaction corridor 2. The 245 is not, Gum Spring Road is not within this. So it's not in that. That's a separate discrete item. So, Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to protect. I'll make a motion, then I'll speak to the motion. I make a motion to amendment to delete item 2. I guess is this page? Item 2, the Loudoun County Parkway, Bi-County Parkway, Route 234 corridor.
And,
the entire corridor?
Yep.
Chairman, I second that motion, and briefly speaking to the motion, I'd just like to say that there are few projects that I have seen that have generated the intensity of opposition that the Bi-County Parkway in Prince William County has generated. I am concerned that we have not done the public hearing along the proposed general route. I understand we don't have a precise route, but this is something where we as an authority need to have the feedback from the people. And definitely that should have been done. Unfortunately, I understand. I mean, we've got a lot of projects and a lot of things to do. But when we get public input, it really needs to be from the affected people rather than just having a public hearing outside of the area where people hardly know anything about it. But in any event, I support the endorsement.
Mr. Chairman, can I amend my motion to be consistent with what I just told Ms. Randall? I was looking at the other document on page 3 of a quarter, transaction quarter 2, items 2-2 and 2-3. I make the motion to delete from the plan. And then I'll speak to that. Second.
And I'll second.
And then speak to my motion again, Mr. Chairman. Again, this thing is, as Ms. Blackman said, there was no hearing in Western Pennsylvania on this huge project. This is a project when it originally came through. How many people showed up? One meeting there was 300, one meeting there was 600, one meeting there was almost 1,000 people. Now, y'all are all elected officials. I can't get 5 people to show up my town hall meeting. Even if I had free beer and free food.
I'm not
sure. 1,000 people showed up on a project because they were concerned about sprawl and concerned about this road. At the time, you know what the developers and the proponents were saying? And this was the governor that I'm very fond of. It wasn't going to be a development road at that time. It was just going to be a truck lane to the Dulles. And that was a truck lane that George Mason University said we did not need in their study. But now it's not a truck lane. It's a sprawl lane. And that's exactly what we're building. That's exactly what we're going to be voting on tonight. We're going to be devaluing these people's roads. If you're concerned about sprawl, if you're concerned about getting around in Loudoun County, Fairfax County, others, wait till they put a Reston in the middle of this, which is what their plan is. They're not some of these fellas, and they're all my friends. Some of these developers are not buying this land for a horse farm because they want to go out there and have their retirement. That's fine. Let's just admit what they're doing. It is going to be sprawl, and it's going to be on MDTA's shoulders if we do this and approve this because we, 4 years ago, unwound this thing. A year and a half ago, you guys took it, Prince William took it off the comp plan. 4 years ago, we got CTV to stop. We got everybody to stop. The programmatic agreement expired. So all we're doing is torching these people's homes out there and setting up a future sprawl. So I amended my motion so I don't mess with, so it does not impact the Loudoun County Parkway, but it does impact 2.2 and 2.3 in Prince William. And so, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the second from Senator Black, and I appreciate y'all giving me the time to express not just the concerns of me, but hundreds. Like I said, when you have 1,000 people show up at the town hall, I think it's something we should listen to. And Ms. Byman, I think we really should have had a meeting in Western Prince William, and I think we were all negligent because that did not happen.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Please.
Mr. Huber, I very much appreciate you not governing in Loudoun County. Appreciate that very much. Couple things. The Bi-County Parkway is on Loudoun County's long-range comprehensive transportation plan, and so I would be voting against this. The word "bi" means two, and so you know if 2.2 and 2.3 comes out, it's no longer Bi-County Parkway, just a road in Loudoun County. So I would be against this motion. That's the first thing. The second thing to the idea of making a Reston in the rural Preston area. You know, what is developed is the decision of a county board. So if a county board listens to their citizens and the citizens are saying that they don't want to have development along any road, then I would hope that the county board would listen to their citizens. Making a road, houses don't pop up automatically. Somebody has to approve those houses. And so I would trust that my colleagues in Prince William County will listen to their constituents just like we would do that. It's like we listen to them, to our constituents, in Loudoun County. I think it's interesting because what we've said here tonight is we had a general area where the Prince William County was going to, I mean, where the Bi-County Parkway was going to land, a general kind of alignment area. What word did you use, Monica?
The termini.
We had to, but then we let that expire. And that, so now we're using the argument, well, we no longer have a alignment area because what we have, we let expire. Well, you can't have it all. If you're going to let it expire, you know, you fought against what you had when you knew where it's going to be, and now you're saying we fought against that, we won that fight, and now we don't know where it's going to be, so we're going to fight against that also. Can't have both ways. You got to do one or you got to do the other. If I were Mr. Hugo, I'd be making these same arguments because those are his constituents out there, and quite frankly, were there not a public hearing held in Prince William County, that kind of falls on people who should have been having somebody come out to Prince William County, because we had one in Loudoun County because they asked you to come out. So were I Mr. Hugo, I'd make the same argument because my constituent would want that argument. And so I appreciate what he's doing. I appreciate why he's doing it, and I think that's what a good elected official should do. I'm the chair of Loudoun County. This is on our plan. We've had these discussions in our county. We've had the meetings. We had MBTA come out and do a public hearing right in the boardroom. I was there. And so for this to come out of our, for this come out right now would actually, no matter how you kind of slice it, would impact Loudoun County. And it would be not only against what the current board would like, but what the board 4 years back would like also, because this has been in our program for, God, I guess, 6 years now. So, with respect, I'm gonna vote against your motion.
Thank you. Let me just say a couple things to my friends here from the House and the Senate. I listened very closely to your arguments. For many years, I've been supportive of the Bi-County Parkway personally. Frankly, the City Council of the City of Manassas has not taken a stand on it, so I'm going to vote my conscience based upon what I understand and know. Let me draw everybody's attention to the second page, or maybe the third or fourth page, into item number 9, which talks about, and I'll just show the page here, which talks about what the responsibilities of the NBTA are. It says NBTA's functions on that document. And it starts out on the left-hand side, planning. And it talks about regional transportation needs. In the middle is the next word of 3, programming. The MBTA called for regional projects, which we might get to tonight. And the third in that column over there on the right is funding. As I understand, what we're about tonight is in that first area, planning. We're not making decisions about projects. We're not making decisions about what money is spent on a road or a transit project or anything else. We're hopefully going to pass the first step towards planning for the future of regional transportation here in Northern Virginia. And we aren't just talking about individual road projects in individual jurisdictions. We're talking about a regional network of transportation for our citizens throughout the region, and that's the challenge that we all have. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a substitute motion, and that substitute motion is that I move the authority adoption of transaction update associated and the associated project list that we have here and has been given to us.
Second.
So we have a substitute motion from Mr. Parrish, a substitute motion from Mr. McKay to adopt item 9.
Yes.
Discussion on substitute motion, Mr. Black.
Yes, substitute motion. I appreciate the Loudoun County position being respected by Delegate Hugo. The idea that we simply proceed with this and we put it on the books, and that somehow it's just a theoretical drill and that nothing will happen downstream, I think is unrealistic. I think we recognize that when we put it on there, that it sets in motion a series of events which logically will eventually lead to the construction of this project. And we have it at number two on the corridor list of projects. And again, we have the problem that we have literally thousands of individuals who sit directly on this location who are adamantly opposed to it. And for that reason, I do not support the substitute motion.
Mr. Chairman, speak to the substitute motion. And it always pains me to oppose a motion made by one of the nicest people that I've ever met, a good friend of mine. But let me just say here.
Thank you.
And I mean that sincerely, too.
I know you
are. We are talking about planning. And what you're planning is sprawl. And what you're planning is the lowest, second lowest rated project, and you threw it in there for nothing. There's no reason to put that sprawl project in there. You told people it's probably not going to be built. So all you're doing right now is upsetting these people's lives on a project that you all admit it's not going to, it may not be built. You're just trying to keep it on life support for a few developers. I got it. But we should not do that. And this is what we should also not do. When you do things like this, it's going to undermine the credibility of the MBTA at large. And I guarantee this is going to have reverberations that are going to come back on us. And we should not. Because MBT has a great purpose. It has a great role in planning because it is a regional IG and a regional entity. But when you do things like this, when you put projects like this in here that are lowly rated, have been taken off the comp plan, are based on expired programmatic agreements that are opposed by major environmental groups, vehemently opposed by major environmental groups across the Commonwealth, and opposed by the citizens, 196-12 in 1,603 town halls. I think what we're going to do, this is going to reverberate down to Richmond. It's going to reverberate. I think it's going to look badly on all of us. It's going to hurt these people's lives, and it's going to negatively long-term impact NBTA, and I think it's going to be all over shoulders. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Just let me ask a clarifying question of Ms. Backman for a moment, because the motion that Delegate Hugo put on the table isn't just one project, isn't it?
That is
40
correct.
Projects?
49 projects.
49 projects. So, you know, I look at this as not a minor thing. I get that it may not have been vetted as well as it should have been with the people who live in that area, but this is a document has been vetted in the entire region for years. I would hope the General Assembly wouldn't have that reaction, because I think one of the reasons that MBTA was created was to try to work as a region on long-term planning. And I'm hearing two jurisdictions or a jurisdiction that supports it leads me to believe that there's a disagreement in the region, which means that this project needs to be further vetted. To further vet it, it needs to be on this list to go through the type of formal evaluation, environmental review, technical review, engineering, siting, all of those things to get the type of real, robust public feedback that we would want. I get why Delegate Hugo is making the argument he's making. I mean, heck, I've got the Springfield Interchange and the Woodrow Wilson Bridge in my district, so I get that, you know, people don't like massive projects and they affect people's properties, but we've got to think as a region here and weigh all the pros and cons of this project. I'm uncomfortable walking in here and looking at a document like this and saying, we'll just take 49 projects out of a document that's been vetted for 3 years. And I think that ultimately, if this project is as bad as it's been described as, and by the way, I've heard Reston described as a lot of things, but not sprawl. if this project is as bad as Delegate Hugo says it is, and it may be, then the review of this project that would come at a later date will point very clearly in a very scientific way that that's the case. And I don't think sitting here today I can make that judgment call on something that's been vetted for 3 years and has an effect on 49 different projects. And if we want public input on this, it's not public input in one meeting or two meetings or three meetings. Projects of this scale, my experience have been, have hundreds of meetings that have to happen before anything gets to a point of being funded. And so I want to double down on what Mr. Parrish has said, and I'm voting on this, not endorsing the Bi-County Parkway. I'm voting for its inclusion to be further vetted and reviewed in a very comprehensive, thorough way. And frankly, if it doesn't have merit, that's what the outcome of the review will show.
To Supervisor Caporn, one, I think you would also be concerned, too, if we'd had a big project in Springfield.
I've had a lot of big projects in Springfield.
But you had hearings on. You had meetings on.
And nothing got built until there were hundreds of hearings on those things.
But I agree with your point that this about the vetting. But this is the point. There was a project in the original plan that was presented 2 months ago. This has just been that what you see before you tonight, the way it's configured, this is different. This was only when was the subcommittee meeting?
We had a subcommittee meeting October 4th, and prior to that,
this
we have one
just
in
from
September.
October 4th. This
no,
is not
was actually
from,
September.
This is not from 3. You took out the 29234 closure. You don't have a discrete route. You said the original language in the original was off the that was off what's been talked about for years. Mm-hmm. This is totally new, Supervisor McKay. This is totally new because you don't know where the route's going. You've added the battlefield bypass. And now you're keeping open 29230. That's what was discussed for 3 years. So this hadn't been discussed for 3 years, maybe a couple weeks. So I hope you're with me now that I've validated your point.
I'm
with you on your point. It should be a talk for a while, and it wasn't.
And there's a lot of projects in here that have not gone through a very thorough vet. And there's a lot of projects in here, as were announced, that don't have very distinct locations as to where they would
be. But you'll agree now that this wasn't a 3-year vetted project.
I will agree that this transaction program has been going on for 3 years. This is not the first time I've heard of the Bi-County Parkway.
This Bi-County Parkway is only 2 weeks old.
Okay.
It hasn't been vetted.
I'm going to go to Ms. Mitchell first.
I just want to say I don't have a dog in this fight, but I will express my opinion. I support the passage of the transaction exactly as it was presented to the authority. I think the challenges that Northern Virginia faces regarding transportation are enormous. And I am reminding myself also that it's a planning document. It is not a funding document. And I assure you, I'm not trying to keep anybody on life support.
Ms. Blackman, when you were presenting, you said that if we tried to fund all 352 projects in transaction, it would be about $42 billion.
Yes.
You may not know this answer, but how much money do we have to work with when we get to the point where we actually are funding the six-year funding program? Generally?
For the six-year program, we estimate $1.5 billion from FY18 to 2023.
$1.5 billion, and we need $42 billion.
To implement everything in transaction.
So what we know is that there's going to be a lot of things that will, one, receive greater scrutiny for because it needs to, but we also know that, for the most part, the vast majority of this won't be funded between now and 2023 just because the funds just flat are not there. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
But we also know that this is a 25-year look. And so, I spend a lot of time reading these documents. I spend a lot of time talking to you. I spend a lot of time going through slide after slide after slide. And it is not the most interesting reading in the world, I will tell you that. But what I have learned is something that you said earlier when I asked you about the bridge is, we just don't know what things are going to look like in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years. And I was saying to somebody the other day that Loudoun's comprehensive plan, we're redoing it because it's 15 years old. 15 years ago, the word data center didn't exist, right? Did not exist. And now 70% of the world's internet traffic follows through Loudoun County. So this is a long-range planning document, 25 years out. Of which we have $1.5 billion to spend, and it would cost $42 billion to do all of it. So I honestly, Mr. Hugo, I really do appreciate what you're saying, and I think that your constituents would be very happy that you were fighting the fight that, that they would want you to fight. But truthfully, I believe Mr. McCain makes a good point. If we are to just, if we're going to study any of these things anymore, if we're going to do any more vetting, if we're going to do any more public hearings, and we should, you can't take it off the plan. If you take out the plan, I mean, it just goes away anyway. If you're going to actually find out what might be needed or what might would not be needed, then it actually has to stay in there for no other reason but that.
Sure.
Okay.
Just one last question,
then
I'll wrap up and everybody go on.
So
one last question.
I'm going to, like Ms. Grishel, support the plan as presented.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You were there, Mr. Meyer, for us.
Well, I think that I don't have a dog in this fight, despite the specific projects that are under discussion. I do have a dog in the regional fight for all of these projects. And I appreciate the scoring, I appreciate the modeling and the intellectual consistency and the wholeness of that. I wish that if one of these projects were in my little jurisdiction, I would only hope that I could be as eloquent as my colleague to the left. But you said something.
Rarely am I on the left.
But you said something about our credibility as an authority. And there's another side of the credibility that also is going to get some attention in Richmond, and that is we have quite a bit of cash on hand. And I'm not saying that we move forward capriciously to spend it, but we can't get to the six-year plan if we decide not to decide tonight and send this back. It only exacerbates and puts off some important decisions on some real live things that are in the six-year planning window. So there's another side to the credibility, and I certainly wouldn't want those in Richmond with sharp pencils to say, you guys are sitting on a pile of cash up there and you haven't done anything because you can't decide, and we're now questioning the wisdom of the concept of this authority if you can't move forward. And I'm not trying to marginalize your concerns at all. I simply...
Well, you just gave me an idea, though.
Right, well, anyway, I just... that's my comment.
Now, one last question. Thank you for all the work you and Camilla have done on this. I appreciate it. I know it's been a lot of work. One last question that just popped into my head on this. So we've got 28 projects I see here on the list, I guess, on page 10. And like I said, the north-south Bi-County Parkway is next to the bottom, 7.7, right? Rated 7.7. And the next one up was 11.8, correct?
No, I'll let you get that one.
I got
them
there.
Got it. Well, I'm just trying to figure out. So 7.7, 11.8. Were there any projects that were rated or scored in between 7.7 and 11.8? Was there anything that's not on this list that was a 10 or a 9 or an 8 that y'all looked at? Did y'all look at anything that had a higher score than 7.7 that's not on this list?
So I do want to clarify that these are segments, 28 segments. So when you turn to the project list, it identifies the projects that are encompassed in the 28 segments. So to get to your point, the 352 projects all fall within one of these 28 segments. You are absolutely right. The number for the North-South Corridor segment 2.2 is one of the lowest performing segments, if you will, compared to the other 27.
It's 12 projects.
Yes,
right.
It is 12 projects in that segment. But part of the reason is some of the segments have more projects than this segment 2.2. So if you have more projects, you're really having more of an impact. You could have more of an impact, but that I did want to make that clarification.
But is there anything in between that would have been in between that's not included on this list?
No, everything that we've analyzed is included on this list. All 352 projects.
This is 27 to 28.
It's in the 20, I guess, segment level ranking. Yes, it's 27 out of 28 regarding the segments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Snyder.
So I sort of look at this plan as kind of one of the tools in our toolbox to kind of deal with the overall transportation issues that confront us. And I don't want to make too much of it or too little of it. It is what it is. It's a collection of projects at this point that look like they've got some interest. In Toto, I'm particularly interested, though. If you look at page 5 under descriptive materials, this is really what this plan does. It says, okay, here's the map. We're going to try to work on each one of these major corridors. And we've got a multimodal approach here. It's roadways, transit, TBM, non-motorized, and ITS and ICM. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, you know, overall, this is pretty good. There are specific projects in here that I love, specific projects that I probably hate, not to mention a particular bridge, and there are probably a lot of projects I have no emotional reaction to. But the reality is that this is what it is. I don't want to make too much of it or too little of it. I do think it moves the ball forward for the region, and it tells the region, if you really want to deal with this, this is the kind of thing you need to look at. And it will trigger further debate and discussion on each one of these projects and go through the appropriate process. So that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. I'm not endorsing any all of the projects, some clearly that I would, others not. But I think overall it does what needs to be done at this point, which is to say to the public, we've looked at this, we've heard there are different reactions to these different projects, but if you really want to make things better, this is the kind of thing that the region is going to have to do overall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I am in support of passage now. But I can appreciate what Supervisor McKay was saying about the vetting that should come down the pike. And so, to Delegate Hugo's, to your point, Mr. Hugo, let me say that I do appreciate all the staff's hard work. Absolutely. And so, there could have been a meeting, apparently, in your area, and we can learn from that. Okay? Chairwoman Randall said, 1.5 billion out of the 42 billion will be funded. So clearly, not everything's going to go forward. But if I lived in that neighborhood and I saw that as part of transaction, that might be a signal to me and my neighbors that this is a possibility, and that might cause, to your point, some concern. And I understand that. I do think that with regard to your concern about the Bi-County Parkway, that all these jurisdictions that are directly affected need to continue to have conversation, is what I would guess. It's not for me to really say that, but and to have more civic engagement and to look at the pros and cons of the environmental impact, and that those of us here in this room can play a role in that discussion going forward and some more vetting. So I do respect your points made, I do. But I do think that then we can have conversation about the pros and cons and what the two adjoining jurisdictions are really focused on. And then as someone in another jurisdiction sitting at this table, that we have that conversation to have more information. I don't feel like I have as much information as I would like about that specific project, but right now we're not voting on moving forward on that project. But so I hope that this is maybe an opportunity to move forward and have those conversations between your jurisdictions and with the leadership, the staff of the team, and then for us to get some more input about that. And I do welcome y'all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. I like a lot of what you said, Delegate Hugo. I kind of said, I wish you'd have had the same comments
early in this process where we could have vetted them at a different point in the discussion. I really think there's a lot to what you're saying, and I think that I'm left with a number of thoughts to share with you. When is the next transaction update?
If you adopt tonight, your next update for adoption year is 2022.
Okay,
6 years.
4 years.
Five years.
What is this year? 17 years.
75 years.
Okay.
Okay.
Short timer syndrome, man. You're having a
six years.
I do think that this conversation is a pretty healthy one in terms of the criteria that this body uses in the long haul and the value of having a $42 billion plan where... what message are we sending? And a whole lot of different messages, right? Not just the residents that wonder if a route's going to go near them or affect their home, but really what are the other messages we send when we have a $42 billion plan and we only have $1.5 billion or $2 billion? So I think the criteria that the body uses to vet at the beginning of the process deserve some reflection. Clearly, this is an unconstrained plan. When you have a constrained plan, like the CLRP, that goes through the Transportation Planning Board for years, you know it's going on the plan because there is enough money anticipated to pay for it. That's what the Transportation Planning Board, that's Virginia, Maryland, D.C., has always worked under. Now, I will say, there's discussion there to add an unconstrained component. I think it will be very measured. And it'll be focusing on those projects that cross jurisdictions, that actually the Maryland, Virginia, DC area can look at and prioritize that are crossed boundaries between Virginia, Maryland, DC. So I think there's a value in that. But I think it is a really good question for the group about what unconstrained means and whether there should be some limits or some better criteria in defining that in terms of an update. This plan, by the way, isn't only fiscally unconstrained, as Monica has said. You know, if you go back to look at the public hearings we had here and the information we've gotten, there were two projects that came out with large opposition. The other one is the one that Phyllis raised earlier, the bridge over the Potomac. It's unconstrained geographically. So one of the questions I asked recently in one of our committee meetings is, how do we have a plan in here that isn't even in Virginia? I mean, the river is in Maryland, all the way over to our bank. Got to have a ramp. Of course, there's a little piece of it, right? But by and large, we've got something on here that isn't even in Virginia. And, you know, when you ask the question, Monica's answer was?
That your plan is really geographically unconstrained, number one. And number two, we're identifying some bottlenecks in the region that not only impact Northern Virginia, but in order to fix the congestion, it does require D.C. and Maryland. There are projects that are in here that, and I want to mention Metro specifically, because we have Metro projects in here that in order to be constructed for funding, we need D.C. and Maryland to bring their share, like 8-car traction power upgrades. We can't do anything just putting the traction power in.
That's even more than I got the last time I asked. Last time I asked it was, this isn't the only geographically unconstrained project, the bridge. There are 6 or 8, at least. 21, excuse me. There are 21 projects that are unconstrained geographically. This one may be one of the more egregious because virtually none of it's in Virginia, but many projects cross out of Virginia and require another locality to outside of Virginia to really sign off and be part of a solution. So, and the bridge, we know, as Phyllis has said, has garnered extreme opposition, whereas others are probably much more nuanced. They're more viable than that one is. So the question, even on that one, would come back, why is that on here? Well, the two answers you get are the modeling, and I think that's part of what we have to deal with today. And the reason I ask when the next update is because this isn't the final word. How can we take what we're talking about today and really use it seriously to inform the next update? Because what Delegate Hugo has just done and what Phyllis did earlier in this conversation, which is one of the more interesting ones we've had in a couple of days, you know, this actually should inform the next update. It should seriously inform the next update because $42 billion is too big. And I think it means we should be paring it back based on some newly thought out criteria. One of them, I would argue, is that since the TPB is creating an unconstrained element, that what's unconstrained here should very much marry up with what the TPB's long-range unconstrained elements of its plan are. So whether that's hot lanes through the region, which is one of the discussions, BRT throughout the region, river crossings, underground, above ground, those are all under discussion. That should be an important part, I think, of a future conversation. So right now, it seems to me we've got the discussion that we probably should have had, at least in this update, months to a year ago to start this off. But I know that were we at the beginning of this process, and I know a lot less, I really like, though, a lot of the framing you had of this, because those are real things for me, whether it's sprawl development in the wrong place, et cetera, what Prince William and Loudoun's, you know, positions are on this, how those criteria factor into the future. But the bridge, for example, huge opposition, an enormous amount, with the other side of the river that owns it saying, absolutely not. Does it mean that if it weren't in there now, that in 6 years it couldn't go on there with changes in leadership? Sure. The challenge right now, practically speaking, as you sort of said, through what Monica has said, is based on the assumptions we've already made, what's the implication of holding off? And, you know, that's what I keep coming back to, is if we could do this today and not affect everything else, I'd be a whole lot more open to actually waiting 6 years to get it to be put on. But if it means that it invalidates and delays and costs things for 6 months or 8 months or another year to finalize this, I'm probably at the place where this body should preemptively have this harder discussion the next time the update. And I would say that Delegate Hugo's conversation and this whole conversation means that by County Parkway and the bridge, neither one of them are going to happen in the next 6 years. And people should feel very comfortable leaving this meeting, presuming that that's the case.
Mr. Vinci.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask a question about a project that's on our list that might have some implication for construction of our transaction plan. In Loudoun County, we have a road called Evergreen Mill Road. Chair Randall and Senator Black and I we had a board meeting last week about that. It's a road that we suffered a rather significant fatality on a few weeks ago, and the accidents continue. The reason I bring that up, this is Project 180 on page 17 of our plan, and there is a call of a project to widen Evergreen Mill Road between Shreveport Drive and Battlefield Parkway from a two-lane divided road to a four-lane divided road. The Loudoun County Conference Plan calls out for that road to be a four-lane divided road, too.
Mr. Chairman, I have a parliamentary inquiry.
I'm sorry.
Is this pertaining to her amendment?
I thought we were in debate, Mr. Chairman, on the main motion.
We have a substitute motion on the floor regarding the substitute motion being approval of item 9, approval of transaction.
So it's forward to, this is just a, I'm glad that Doug you brought it up. The debate we're having right now is passage of transaction.
Yes.
So we're talking globally right now.
Yes.
I'll go back to where I was. Okay. My question is that if the Board of Supervisors were to decide that it would like to do some structural safety enhancements, fixing problems of bad site distance, bad horizontal and vertical geometry, that may not be the full boat, the full four-lane divided section. And they wanted to seek NVTA 70% financing for that section. Would this plan allow them to file that application, even though that application is not saying we want a four-lane section, but we want something that is perhaps under the penumbra of that project? And in other words, if the answer to that question is yes, then I say, well, by approving this plan, I'm not saying that our choice is nothing or a four-lane divided section of Evergreen Mill Road, that the Board of Supervisors has some discretion to do what's right to serve the citizens and enhance safety and congestion relief within that number. So that's my question, Mr. Chair, but perhaps Ms. Bachman could give me some guidance on that.
Thank you, Delegate Minshew. The answer to your question is yes. For item 10, I know, or excuse me, 12, I know we haven't gotten to the call for projects, but eligibility for your six-year program is projects must be included in transaction because that's what the law states, but it may be a subset of a project in transaction because we understand that you may not be in a position to advance a project as it's listed in transaction in its entirety. So you could submit a subset for the six-year program consideration.
We already have funded projects which are identified in the current version of transaction that might be a widening of a 10-mile long road, and we have funded a 2-mile section of that 10-mile. We've already funded basically phases of medium to large size projects.
That is correct.
That's awesome, Chairman. I appreciate Ms. Bachman's advice on that, but I'm not sure that either me personally, Senator Black personally, Chair Randall representing the entire county is ready to four-lane that section, but there may be something in light of the exigencies and accidents that we want to do something that, while short of the full four laning, something that is critically needed. I'm glad to receive that advice.
I think the correct answer is we cannot say tonight whether it would get funded, but it would absolutely be allowed to be submitted for evaluation.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, a point of clarification. With the motion that's currently before the body, if that motion were to pass, I'm just wondering, in what manner would we raise this particular point? We're discussing it, but we haven't raised it in a formal fashion.
You're talking about the question about Kenny Parkway, or Evergreen Mill.
Talking about Evergreen Mill.
Evergreen Mill.
Do we foreclose raising that before the body by acting on the motion in the form that
it's... No, I think the point is, if it's probably true, the question is relevant insofar as Evergreen Mill is a project listed in transaction. I think I'm going to answer the question not in the way you asked it, but I think that'll give you the information you're looking for. Once we have approved transaction, we can then move forward with a call for projects in which jurisdictions can request funding for construction funds, planning funds, whatever they need for specific projects within transaction. So essentially, approving transaction puts into motion a series of other dominoes that could lead to the Loudoun Board of Supervisors requesting funding for Evergreen Mill. I won't speak for the Loudoun Board of Supervisors on anything, but most specifically not on what projects they're going to request. But it I don't know if Evergreen Mill is in the current version of transaction or not. But the point is, we can only fund those projects that are included in transaction. So the 357 projects that are in here all become eligible for funding. So, and to include as one of those 357, Evergreen Mill or some portion of Evergreen Mill.
Thank you.
So I made an amendment, and I think Mayor Parrish made a substitute amendment. So there'll still be final passage.
My motion.
Because you can't have a substitute amendment be final passage.
It was not an amendment. It was a substitute motion. And I suspect the chairman will call on that to be acted upon first.
So that'll be final passage. I just want to be clear.
It becomes the main motion if it passes. Then you have to vote on the main motion.
And then you'll have a second vote after his passes on the main motion, is what I'm saying.
Yes. I'm going to say, someone wants to tell me I'm wrong. There was a motion on the floor to amend this draft to withdraw certain projects from it. That motion, there was a substitute motion made. That motion has been seconded. having been motioned and seconded, it is now the main motion. At that point,
we didn't vote on it.
No discussion of that motion right now.
I'm not an expert at this, but I think there's a motion to replace. If it's approved, then you have to vote on it afterwards. The motion right now is to replace them.
So there'll be two votes.
I think that's right.
My impression is we vote on Mr. Parrish's motion.
Yeah, I think that's
correct. And then if that passes, then that becomes
the main motion.
So I'm going to look. We had a discussion about this. Hold on. Okay, everyone. I'm going to look at my attorneys here. I see Mr. Dickerson raising his hands.
Two votes.
One vote on whether or not to make this a substitute, whether or not to turn this into the main motion, a second vote on, if that passes, he can vote on the motion.
It should be amended or proposed amendments.
Okay. Understood. So there's two votes.
Just want to be clear. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh.
Would you go over that with us again?
So, at some point in time, this is extremely important. This is not the most high profile thing that we do, but we can't do the other more high profile things if we don't do this first. So I am very open to having all the discussion we need to have on the broader topic. So after the discussion on the broader topic is, once we've reached the point where everything's been said, whether everyone has in fact said it or not, We will have two votes, unless there's a new motion. We will first have a vote an up or down vote on whether or not Mr. Hugo's motion shall be supplanted by Mr. Parrish's motion. If that motion passes, then we will have an up or down vote on the adoption of the transaction. I've got so much money in attorneys sitting in this room. Mr. Anderson, you want to chime in? I know it's not your
Mr. Chairman, what are our attorneys advising you?
Are advising
about the motion
that there should be two votes. First, a vote on whether.
Mr. Chairman is saying, Mr. Parrish.
Yeah, I believe, and it's my understanding, that a substitute motion becomes the main motion. And if it passes, we've got a transaction.
That is absolutely correct. And I am an expert on this.
Mr. Parrish.
And I'm a conservative on it. What I was getting at is to make sure that we've got it in the votes and maybe belts and suspenders on it to get you on through that.
And that it will... I'm sorry, what was your name?
I'm sorry, my name's Rob Dickerson. I'm a deputy county attorney.
So what you're saying, it doesn't hurt, but it's also not required. He made a substitute motion. Noe did not call substitute motion in contradiction to the main motion. He could have, but he didn't before it was seconded. So he's been discussing the substitute motion. So if we voted on the substitute motion, that becomes the main motion and we're done. Or we can do the other way, but we don't have to do both.
So I'm going to make a ruling of the chair. And someone can make a motion to appeal to ruling the chair. So that's why I'm using the phrase ruling of the chair. Okay, go ahead, Mr.
I don't want to interfere with the chair, but I spend a lot of time at the General Assembly with a collection of lawyers called the Courts of Justice Committee. And if you've never seen a bunch of lawyers sitting in the House of Delegates, 90% of them are lawyers debating public proceedings, you ain't had nothing yet. But the way I understand the motion of practice, Delegate Hugo made a motion to take a project off the list. Mayor Parrish made a substitute motion, which gets priority, which was approval of the entire transaction. So, as I understand Robert's rule, we'll vote on Mayor Parrish's motion first, and then we have approved transaction. So, once we've done that, I wonder what the second vote would be, unless it's a motion to reconsider. So that's my question.
The first motion becomes moot.
That's the way I would say.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, we actually had a very similar situation the other night, the parallel situation would be that we would take Mr. Mayor Parrish's motion. And then we vote on that. And then if it passes, then that becomes the main motion, and then we actually vote on that. But regardless, Mr. Parrish, then his motion goes first. And that's the way we did it, and everyone agreed. And a couple of people, he made a substitute motion. But I say that with all due respect.
There are two legal ways to
do this. So let me cut this off. Let me cut this off. So for reasons, for on a topic that has nothing to do with transactions, therefore I will not get into the details of it. There's been a lengthy and ongoing discussion at the Prince William Board of County Supervisors about how one makes substitute motions, and there's still disagreement about it. One of the things I do know, and Mr. Dickerson, can, if he doesn't mean not giving me confidential legal advice, will say that a vote that, regardless of the procedure, if a vote is called and a governing body votes on it, regardless of whether you have one vote, two votes, 10 votes, the governing body takes a vote on something, that vote is lawfully enforceable until challenged. Given that there are many ways it can be done, when we get there, what I would like to do is first take an up or down vote on the question of, shall Mr. Parrish's motion become the main motion? And if that passes, then take a second vote on that motion. And if it fails, we will then go and take a vote on Mr. Hugo's motion. That is the way that I would like to do it, because then there's no question about what we did. If you do it the other way, you can have an argument later about whether we did it right. Even if that first vote is superfluous, it's determinative, and there's value in that. So that's what's going to happen, unless someone wants to make a motion to appeal the decision of the chair. Okay, hearing none. Mr. McKay, go ahead.
I don't, and I'm okay with that. And before we started talking about voting, we were still talking about transportation.
That's what I love
you. And I want to go back for a moment to what Mr. Cassette said, because I do have a couple of technical questions I want to understand, kind of going back to where we started with Mr. Hugo's comments. The plan is updated every 5 years, but we just spent 3 years reviewing this proposal. And so is it within the scope of the NVTA to change the parameters of what is considered in this plan, as Mr. Fazette has suggested? And if it is within the scope of the NVTA to do that, shouldn't they be doing that immediately following today's activities, knowing that this is really ongoing all the time? I mean, there's not really a downtime, because we adopt this. You're going to want to go into public hearings for the next five-year cycle 2 years from now.
Absolutely, and if I could add, it is an ongoing process. We do a lessons learned. We're already working on the lessons learned from this update. We did one for the Transaction 2040 plan, the 2030 plan. If you adopt transaction this evening and issue your call for projects, we'll be right back out doing a public hearing, a public comment period on those projects. So it is ongoing, even though it's technically 5 years from adoption to adoption. The process starts almost immediately all over again, especially now that there's funding to implement.
Right. So kind of to Mr. Hugo's concern, you, as soon as a couple months, a couple years from now, you could be right there talking about the same thing and whether this would get considered in the next five-year cycle, perhaps in a more robust way than was done leading up to this cycle, if that is what's requested. That's a real-time thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. The second question I have is the comment that was made about Prince William County removing this from their comprehensive plan. I was under the impression that the General Assembly specifically in code prohibited this authority from being compelled to change its plan based on a local government's comprehensive plan. Is that
is correct. It was House Bill 1915 that essentially states that when localities make changes to their transportation and land use sections of their comprehensive plans, they have to notify the authority, but we are not compelled to make changes to our long-range transportation plan.
And I would think, and this is really for the General Assembly members, if they know the answer to this, because obviously I was not there, I don't know all the ins and outs of that bill, but presumably that bill would have been passed to make sure that this board focuses on regional solutions and not just at the whim of one particular jurisdiction. Is that
absolutely, because for the case of the bike
behind it?
I would say yes, Supervisor McKay, because for the case for the Bi-County Parkway, we have two localities in which the project falls in. One locality is not in their comprehensive plan, and the other it is. And this is why, you know, I think it speaks to why we shouldn't make these planning-level decisions on a project that's, whether it is or is not in a locality's comprehensive plan. Now, the programming aspect is very different.
Right. And I mean, I only ask that question because I think it's an important one. Rarely have I ever looked to the General Assembly and said, geez, we want you to have people ignore our comprehensive plan. In fact, we look for more local control in things, and so looking at a jurisdiction's comprehensive plan seems a lot of ways to us in local government is kind of what the opposite of what the General Assembly does. And so obviously they want to promote regionalism and make sure that one jurisdiction doesn't change the entire outcome of the NVTA process. Now, I would love for the General Assembly to come back and give more deference to local government's comprehensive plans in my own jurisdiction, but I think it would work against regionalism, and I think that is why that code section was approved by the General Assembly. I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
So, Ms. Hines could just recognition that I'm going to present perhaps what may be a way forward on some of these issues, and then we can have more discussion.
I just want to double check the effective results of doing what Delegate Hugo proposed and make sure I understand this properly. If we were to remove 2.2 and 2.3 entirely from the program, that would mean that no projects of any sort on those corridors would be eligible for NVTA funding, right?
In those 49. Two segments.
In those two segments.
That is correct.
So 49, I mean, it's 49 that somebody imagined now, but it basically takes that whole stretch of road out of the conversation, which is a little bit what we were dealing with Loudoun from the last one, where things just didn't get put in. And so they weren't eligible. So I just wanted to make sure I understood that properly.
That is correct.
Thank you.
So let me propose something. I've been looking to my friend Mr. Parrish, perhaps for a slight amendments to his motion.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yeah,
I think you're leading us in the right direction. We're going to get to where we need to be. I'll do appropriate as you suggest.
So Mr. Fassetter asked earlier, that he said there were 7 or 8 projects that are extraterritorial, and I happen to know it's 21 because I happen to have copies of the list of the 21 projects that are extraterritorial. And actually, it's funny looking at it, this question of can we do things outside of Planning District 8 is a very relevant one because the code says we cannot. What we can do is we cannot spend our money outside of Planning District 8, and as a practical matter, we cannot build things in places. We can't build a road in, I'll pick on Clark County, since they don't get mentioned enough.
I'm the only representative of Clark County.
But they're not on this list, is why this works. So
and they're happy about
that. If there's some project that crossed into Clark County, we couldn't do it without Clark County's blessing, and someone outside of Northern Virginia would have to pay for Clark County's share. Because NVTA can't pay for that. The project we've talked about a lot is specifically one that crosses into Montgomery County. But it could be, I mean, looking down this list, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, the District of Columbia, Stafford County, City of Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania County. Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania don't even border Planning District 8, but there's projects that would affect them. That I am certain, we haven't talked to them about it, but I am certain that if we said we wanted to do them, they would say, whoa, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Because, bluntly, in the southern jurisdictions, they don't have money. They don't have the funding resources to do it. I believe that these projects, these 21 extraterritorial projects, bluntly, some of them we may someday want to build. One of those extraterritorial projects is the Rosalind Blue Line Tunnel. That's something that kind of everyone agrees would be really great. Well, we can't do it unless D.C. says it's okay. And so far, D.C. has actually not said it's okay. They don't know where it would come out on the other side. So I think it is but we don't want to be in a position where we can't fund the extraterritorial projects should they become a priority for this region and for our partners in the other parts of the region. And this will tie, I didn't bring this list to tie into the Bi-County Parkway, but I will tie it in a moment. What I would propose we do is we add, presuming we adopt transaction tonight, we add an appendix to transaction of projects for which there are special circumstances that would have to be considered prior to funding. The 21 extraterritorial projects clearly have special circumstances surrounding them, in that we cannot build them unless someone who's not in this room right now says we can build them and is willing to pay their share of building them. I think there's value in acknowledging that. I think it was a PPC meeting, Ms. Hines asked, could we put an asterisk next to those? Could we highlight them? And I think that we can do a number of things. What I would suggest is, bluntly, the reason I would suggest putting them into an appendix is because an appendix is amendable. If a project suddenly becomes viable because Prince George's County says they want it, Charles County says they want it, then we take it off their appendix. If a project suddenly changes, some project that isn't in question today suddenly comes into question, it can be put on the list. Wasn't why I brought the list, but relevant to the other half of this discussion we're having about Bi-County Parkway. Bluntly, Bi-County Parkway is a project that has special circumstances. It's not in the law, but it is a longstanding policy of this authority going back to HB 3202 and probably before, that we do not fund projects that the jurisdiction in which that project is physically located does not endorse the project. The jurisdiction doesn't have to ask for the project. There's a project that was requested by Loudoun County a few years ago that is being constructed in Fairfax County, but Fairfax County said, we're okay with it. We're happy to let Loudoun build a project that comes into Fairfax County. The Bi-County Parkway is not in Prince William County's comprehensive plan. We are not going to request it, and if Loudoun County, who has it in their comp plan, does request it, we are not going to bless it because it's not in our comp plan. And there may be others in the situation. I can think of 21 extraterritorials plus the Bi-County Parkway. If we discover there, if we go forward this way, if there are others we discover that have similar circumstances, they can be added to the list. But I think it speaks to Mr. Fassett's point that we find ourselves here at a crossroads where it feels like it's time to take a vote, but there's this unanswered question of what do we do about these projects that are special circumstances. And my thought would be that by doing this, we set the stage for a more clear answer to that question when our successors, some of us may still be here, but you know, not everyone will be, when the next time we do this, whoever's sitting at this table, has some direction, understanding that we knew when we adopted this that some of these projects have an asterisk next to it. So I would.
So, Mr. Chairman, yes. Let me just make sure. You're not talking about removing them from transaction as we see it. You're talking about adding an asterisk,
if you will,
and describing that asterisk and what it means for the future.
And the way I would do it is through an appendix, because an appendix is amendable. We have found that amending, because we're not changing the scoring, we're not changing the congestion relief analysis, we're just identifying. So that by doing an appendix, if a project suddenly becomes viable.
Yes, but does putting it in an appendix take it out of transaction?
It does not. It would not.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
It would speak to some of the concerns that a lot of us have expressed.
That's why I suggested this. I hope that
so you've made a motion for the. Oh, sorry.
I haven't made a motion. I'm asking, but
is your suggestion to take it out of
absolutely
in the appendix, or just identify it in the appendix?
No, we're going to create. There may be other appendices that are in here already.
No. You've got your plan with the projects
right.
in it. You're adding an appendix which would identify those projects in the plan which have these special circumstances.
Special circumstances.
You wouldn't be taking it out of the plan.
We wouldn't be taking it out of the plan. To take it out of the plan would have required that we completely remove it.
I just want
to,
so you,
that was my question.
I know.
As long as we're not taking them out of the plan and we're annotating them in some other way because of their special circumstances, then that's fine with me. I would not support taking them out.
That's not what I'm suggesting at all. That would require going back and doing the modeling.
Okay.
So, Mr. Black.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then I would move that we add the appendix and that we include the two topics, the bridges and the Bi-County Parkway, in that appendix to the overall plan.
So rather than accepting your motion, I'm going to ask Mr. Parrish, the maker of the current substitute motion, whether he accepts that as a friendly amendment. Because I don't want to have to get into the question of four votes or something.
Mr. Chairman, let me see. Let me take a whack at it. See if everyone. We don't know whether it'll pass or not. We'll find that shortly, hopefully. My first motion was that I move the authority adopt transaction update and the associated project list that we have in front of us. And I certainly have no problem so long as these projects that you're talking about are not removed from transactions, that they become annotated in some way within an appendix that describes their unique situation. But that's fine.
Who was the seconder of the motion?
I was the second.
Is that acceptable to you?
Well, I have a question about it. I just want to make sure I'm crystal clear. By putting them in the appendix, we're mentioning them twice. And so procedurally, nothing different will happen with the MPTA process after we adopt this plan for any of these plans. We're just being more transparent with the public that the decision about whether or not these projects were to move forward or not are not solely held by this authority.
And if Loudoun County says that they want to spend 70% funds on the construction of a Northern Potomac River crossing, Mr. Berliner now has something he can show up at our meeting and wave at us and said, "But you put it in the appendix. You've acknowledged that this is a problem."
Right. So with that understanding that procedurally nothing different happens with these projects, with that clarification,
right.
I would agree to the amendment.
So hold on. So a friendly amendment has been accepted to the substitute motion.
Just as a clarification, you're including in that appendix the I don't have that document.
Sure.
I don't need it.
Oh,
so
I can hand this out.
No, it's okay. It includes the bridges and the bike.
Includes the bridges here. Let's pass it.
Just say yes or no.
Yes, includes both.
Okay, thank you.
And to be fair, it also includes the widening of Long Bridge and the Manassas Line peak period service expansion, because that affects Fauquier County, for example.
So with the appendix, and I understand what you're saying. You're saying that nothing comes out of transaction; it's just an appendix, because it says it's what you're calling extraterritorial. However, there's two things going on with the appendix. Some of the things are extraterritorial in that they are actually outside of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority's authority, literally. But you're saying it will both be extraterritorial, and it will also be that if the jurisdiction does not have it in its comprehensive plan, then it will be included in the appendix also, even if it's in the Northern Virginia, the MBTA authority. You're saying both those things.
What I would say is this. My specific suggestion tonight is the 21 extraterritorial charter projects plus the Bi-County Parkway. If there is some other project among the 357 projects that is in transaction but is not in someone's local comp plan, I will leave it up to that jurisdiction as to whether they'd like it acknowledged in appendix. Prince William County just so happens to have an internal policy in our county that says we will not endorse for NVTA funding or smart scale funding or anything else any project which is not in our comp plan. So, but if Fairfax County says, no, we're going to request projects that aren't in our comp plan but happen to be in transaction, I'm not going to second guess Fairfax County on that, and therefore it would not be a special circumstance. But if a jurisdiction wanted to identify a project where that was the case, I would, and it wouldn't have to happen tonight. It can be added. It's the nature of an appendix. It can be added later.
Let me ask a follow-up question. Ms. Beckman, when we come to talking about the six-year program, with the things on the appendix, with the project on the appendix, I understand that they would still be in transaction, receive a less favorable view when we came to starting the six-year funding mechanism.
I would say they would not receive a less favorable view depending on the circumstance. For example, with Metro in your FY17 program, you funded traction power upgrades for the Blue Line at $17.5 million. What we had to do as staff is to ensure that D.C. and Maryland, per a Metro board action, was prepared to fund their portion of it. And once we secured that resolution, then at that point we brought the standard project agreement to the authority.
Okay,
for
so
approval.
Understanding that they stay in transaction and understanding that for the most part they won't receive a less favorable view. Mr. Noe, tell me the logic of what we're doing. So we're putting a check mark by these by these projects because they are either outside of the either extraterritorial or are one of the counties that may be involved, doesn't have in its comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, nothing changes.
Except insofar as that acknowledgement becomes a relevant data point for our consideration. The example I used earlier is if, and I know you said you wouldn't do it, but if a future Loudoun Board of Supervisors said we want to build our top priorities that Route 28 bridge,
okay,
it would trigger someone saying, but wait a minute, has Montgomery County said yes? If someone wants to widen the Long Bridge, we would have to say, wait a minute, has the District of Columbia agreed?
And the only I see what you're trying to get with, and I don't I I don't know that I disagree. I think the only, my only thought is that for the Bi-County Parkway, for those two sections that are coming out, are actually not coming out. I'm sorry, getting annotated, getting a check by them. They do affect Loudoun County.
So let me suggest, if I may suggest, I should say this, I should have made a clearer distinction when I suggest, because again, I walked in here thinking about this in the context of the 21 extraterritorial projects. My suggestion is not directly responsive to Delegate Hugo's initial motion, which was to remove sections 2.2 and 2.3. Sections 2.2 and 2.3 are both subsections of corridor. They are corridor subsections. Included within those corridor subsections are 49 total different projects, many of which are deeply uncontroversial, many of which are included in Prince William County's comprehensive plan. One of the projects within that sub-corridor is a road called the that we casually call the Bi-County Parkway. Oddly, if you look at the original VDOT document that identifies it, they call it the Tri-County Parkway, which is really confusing because there's a different road called the Tri-County Parkway.
Right.
And there's a backstory about how that happened. But the point is, I would specifically reference the road that at one time might have led to the closure of the 29-234 interchange, and the road that has been removed from Prince William County's comprehensive plan. I'm not suggesting acknowledging that for all 49 projects in the entire Route 234 corridor.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm
going to... And to that point, I would not apply to the Loudoun County section of the of this because it is in Loudoun County.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a small request, maybe a big request. I'm going to request a five-minute recess so I can speak to both staff and my colleagues from Loudoun on the authority.
I'm going to recommend that in a moment.
Yeah, I'm getting increasingly concerned as we're talking about this because I'm looking at this list of extraterritorial components, and I'm seeing that, you know, many of these, of course, are transit, and they're on here because you're leaving Virginia. I'm getting a little bit more concerned about conversations about between two jurisdictions because, in point of fact, I just clarified that the General Assembly passed a bill that specifically discourages us from compelling ourselves to change our plan based on a jurisdiction's comprehensive plan. There is a practice in place for how jurisdictions can work that out within MBTA. But this list is all of projects that, if I'm reading it correctly, are in corridors and on transit service that leave at some point in time the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's different than a roadway contained within Virginia between multiple jurisdictions, and that's what has me concerned about the way the conversation is going. So maybe someone can help clarify that part of
and in that regard, it may be a bad idea. But, again, I brought the issue up in the context of these 21 projects.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. President.
Thank you. Inasmuch as we've already taken an action to fund a project that did just that, and we took the appropriate action working with other jurisdictions, frankly, outside of Northern Virginia in that example, to accomplish it in a way that allowed our funding and theirs. So we have an example of that. And it seems to me that any of these that are within transactions that might be done based upon future either programming and or funding, we know how to do it. We can annotate it all you want, and I think you could give the staff instruction to do that after a motion, but it seems to me that the motion is pretty straightforward and clear. Let's pass transactions.
So,
and the projects within it.
So you are reverting back to the original language.
And I am agreeing with that as a seconder.
I question the need for an appendix.
That's fine.
And after all of this conversation.
Now no one can say
it.
Now the appendix idea is not there.
And if on down the line people are unclear, I'm sure we've laid down a tremendous paper trail in the minutes of the season.
I hear everyone loud and clear on that. The fact that the guy who has 52% of the voting power says he doesn't like the idea means it's a terrible idea.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, as we move on, just to remind people, the Nats game started 24 minutes ago.
He's asking you if you have any other ideas.
I have no other ideas. Just a comment. For many, many years, I have had such hope for MBTA and what it could accomplish in Northern Virginia for Northern Virginia citizens with regard to reducing congestion and making life better. I think we're on the cusp of that. I'm pleased for it, and I appreciate the conversation that we've had tonight. It's been very good. Like Chair Randall said, she supported Delegate Hugo's passionate discussion, and he should do that, representing the people that he represents. We should all do that. But in the MBTA, we're also called upon to make decisions regionally. And as I said, I've been hoping for that. So I hope we can move forward.
Let's pass this thing.
Mr. Chairman, just two votes still, right? I've got something to say, but I'll wait till final passage.
Go ahead.
Mrs. Randall and Chair Parrish, thank you for the education, and Delegate Hugo. You as a governing body, and Mr. Knowing and Register, you have a quorum here today. You have voting requirements to take action, and that is by two-thirds of the population, two-thirds of the members, and two-thirds of the localities. If the motion is clear, and that motion that I'm hearing is it's been a substituted motion, a motion to adopt the plan. And if that is the motion that is clear before and everybody understands that, it's adopted by the two-thirds majority across the board, that is the action of your authority.
But there's nothing that precludes us from doing it the two-vote method.
There's nothing.
Okay. I've already ruled we're going to take the two-vote method. Is that what you prefer, Mr. Hugo?
No, it's up to, I just want to know.
Okay, we're going to go the two-vote method. I know. Like, thank you for the clarification. I thought that was the case, but we have the option of going the two-vote method. Okay. I'm going to say one last thing on this. My very first meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority 12 and a half years ago, and boy, that feels really weird that I've been on this authority 12 and a half years, was in the building next door on a night we were discussing Transaction 2030, which is two transactions ago. And it dawns on me as I sit here that Mr. Snyder and Mr. Parrish were in that room. And we are the only three who were in that room. But I think what's also true is that we are also the only three who were on the authority when we adopted Transaction 2040. So for the three of us, this is our third transaction. And for Mr. Snyder, it's his fourth, because he was part of the original Transaction 2020. And what I will say about my two previous experiences is my very first meeting was basically this exact conversation about different projects. It wasn't these exact same projects, but it was the same conversation about what should and should not be included. Because I think it is a complex issue. I'm glad we've had the conversation and we've been able to air this. I will say that one thing is very different about this project than the two previous ones I've been involved with, and that is that we are not just adopting a wish list of projects. This is not a wish list. In fact, some of these are anti-wish. Some of these we don't want, if we've heard that. But what we have done is we have taken a list of potential projects and we've assigned, based on robust analysis, a number that can be used to determine whether or not a project is a good idea. And it's, you know, if it gets a low score, probably Simon should be looking at something else to relieve congestion, better use of the money. We don't, as far as I can tell, no one has ever done what the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority has done with this plan. We are setting a new standard for how regions or states or groups of people who want to analyze transportation, setting a new way of being analyzing this. And I think that is something that is we should be extraordinarily proud of as a region. And I want to thank the NVTA staff, Ms. Backman, Mr. Jasper, who I've gotten to know far better than ever I thought I would over the last few months, all of the NVTA staff, and also, more importantly, the huge amount, I think it's easy for us to lose track of, the huge amount of man hours put in by the jurisdictional staff. And I'm not going to bother naming names. There are so many people in this room or at home right now who put in hours away from their job back at the City Hall or the Board of Supervisors building to make this happen. And I'm very grateful to all the people for that work. With that, I'm now going to call for a motion on the motion to create a substitute. A vote in the affirmative is a vote to say that we will go to a second vote on the main, on what will become the main motion, as opposed to voting on Mr. Hugo's original motion.
Just for point of clarity, as I understand the motion on the floor, the substitute motion made by Mayor Parrish, seconded by Supervisor McKay, to approve transaction. So if that motion were to pass, we have approved transaction.
No.
So my question is, what's the second motion?
No, that's not correct. The way I am choosing to proceed with it is the first vote will be, do you want Mr. Parrish's motion to be the main motion? If you would like instead to take an up or down vote on Mr. Hugo's motion, you would vote no on this. If you want us to, but then if this motion, if this vote passes by two-thirds, two-thirds, and two-thirds, we will then take a second vote to approve transactions.
I think I got it.
Okay. I'll explain it again, because I know everybody does it differently.
Just explain the first part of it, because if you're going to go with two, just explain the one. The first.
The vote we're taking is, approval of this vote turns Mr. Parrish and Mr. McKay's motion into the main motion.
It's a vote to substitute the motions or not.
It's a vote to substitute the motion. And I recognize that it is not legally required, but I think it is helpful as a declarative act. So it can clear what we're doing.
Understood. Okay? The first motion is not passage.
The first motion is not passage. It is okay. Substitution, replacement. There's all kinds of verbs. Okay? The Spirit, take the vote. Or you'll be in here. You've got the list of them.
I have a list.
I keep counting. You can read the names.
Chairman Noe.
Yes.
Chair Randall.
Yes.
Supervisor McKay.
Aye.
Sheriff Cassette.
Aye.
Mayor Silverberg.
Aye.
Mayor Parrish.
Yes.
Mayor Meyer.
Yes.
Councilmember Schneider?
Yes.
Mayor Rochelle?
Yes.
Senator Black?
Yes.
Delegate Hugo?
No.
Delegate Minshew?
Yes.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
By a vote of 13-1, the motion to substitute carries. We now move to a motion to what is now the main motion, a vote on whether or not to approve agenda item number 9, adoption of the transaction updates.
Chairman,
please.
With your permission, if I could change my vote to no on that.
Mr. Chairman, I can assist my colleague. As a member of the prevailing side, I would move to reconsider the last vote.
Is there any objection to, let me do it a different way. Is there any objection to general consent on suspending the rules and allowing Senator Black's vote to be recorded as a no? Hearing no objection, please record Senator Black's vote as a no.
I guess you're same place.
Okay. We're going to have to vote a third time. Okay. So on a vote of 12-2, the motion to substitute carries. We now move to a vote on whether or not to approve item 9, the transaction update. Please take the rule.
Mr. Chairman.
No, please.
Did you want comments?
Yeah, what's up?
On general. You don't pass it, you usually do.
Okay, go ahead.
I want y'all to mark this on your calendar. One, I think it's a good day. I think the Nats are going to win. But also mark this on your calendar. Dave Meyer says I'm to the left of him. And Mayor Silverberg, Cassette, and McKay express sympathy for the position of Black and Hugo on this. But I think I'm real serious about this, and I want to recognize Delegate Marshall's here in the office, in the building, too. I think something that Mayor Meyer and Supervisor Cassette said are incredibly important that are going to last beyond tonight. I think Supervisor Fizzett, you commented on that, this may not happen, bi-county card game probably won't happen. But you also said we're creating a fiscally unconstrained document. Not just geographically unconstrained, but fiscally unconstrained document is what we're about to pass here tonight. I think that's something that's incredibly important, and it goes to what you said, that Richmond's going to see a pot of money or see something down here, and this is going to reverberate beyond. I really think we're making a mistake, not just on this one individual project, but the process, and I think a number of you expressed concerns about the process, how it's happened, and the scope of what we've done. The scope of what we've done, creating an unconstrained fiscal document for transportation, is going to send a message that's going to be problematic for all the good things that you talked about, Mayor Parrish, that we want to do, this is going to be problematic as we go forward, and it's going to be problematic for MBTA. I wish we were not doing this, but I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to speak tonight, and I plan on voting no. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've been very gracious tonight to allow me to speak. Thanks.
Any further discussion or action? There are none. Please take the roll.
Chairman Nook.
Yes.
Chair Randall.
Aye.
Supervisor McKay.
Aye.
Chair Fassett.
Aye.
Mayor Silverberg.
Aye.
Mayor Parrish.
Yes.
Mayor Meyer.
Yes.
Councilmember Snyder.
Yes.
Mayor Rochelle.
Yes.
Senator Black.
Aye.
Delegate Hugo.
No.
Delegate Minshew.
Aye.
Ms. Hines.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
A vote of 13 to 1, the motion carries. Thank you. We have a regional plan. Okay. I'm now going to, we have other agenda items. These will be faster. Pretty common. We're going to go back to item 4, which is the approval of the transaction contract amendment.
I move approval.
A motion by Mr. Parrish, seconded by Mr. McKay. All in favor, please say aye. Any discussion? Oh, it's a consent agenda item. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item 10, the adoption of the FY18 through 23 revenue projections. Mr. Parrish.
Mr. Chairman, we can go very quickly on that if you'd like, and in fact, let's do just that. The Finance Committee met recently to discuss this at length, and I'd like to just say that this process is one that leads us to the ability to fund the projects at a future time, and it addresses regional transportation needs through 2040. As we know, Northern Virginians consider the region's travel conditions to be a greater factor influencing the quality of their life. So let me just say that the revenue projections that we have in front of us are the first step towards the PAYGO availability, and that all jurisdictions have participated in the revenue projection process. And it includes a number of items and considerations. Let me just very quickly bring everyone's attention to the second page of the document for item number 10. And at the top, the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority revenues are sales tax, transient occupancy tax, renter's tax, and they are listed there for the various fiscal years. And you'll remember earlier when Ms. Backman was asked the question about how much money we have during the six-year plan, it shows that under the 70% regional revenue over to the far right-hand side for 18 through 23. It's about just less than $1.5 billion. So I move authority adoption of the proposed FY 2018 through 23 revenue projections.
Second.
All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Item 11. The deallocation of $300 million from the 6628 interchange project is back.
So, Mr. Chairman, as part of your FY17 program, you did allocate $300 million for the I-66 and Route 28 interchange project. $100 million of that was cash, and the $200 remaining was going to be debt issue. As we all know now, there are no public monies required for the Transform 66 project, and the interchange improvements as prescribed will be completed by Express Mobility Partners as part of the overall Transform 66 project. Having said that, we are requesting that you take the $300 million, which is actually $100 million in cash, off of that project so we can include it back into the 70% pot to be available for future programming decisions.
Is that $100 million included in the $1.5 billion that was just referenced, or does that take that number off?
It will take it up.
So it goes to
the 1.462 once we add that $100 million.
1.562.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion by Mr. McKay. Second by Ms. Hines. By the way, I will note for the record, I spoke to Deputy Secretary Donahoe because when we scheduled this item, for tonight months ago, thinking that the state would already be at financial close on the 66 project. They're not quite there yet, but I've been assured by Mr. Donahoe that this isn't going to be what messes it up. So he said go ahead and move forward with it. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Approval of the next big thing. All right. You finish one big thing, you start the next one.
So, Mr. Chairman, with the adoption of transaction this evening, we are asking for your approval of the call for projects, for regional transportation projects, for your first six-year program that covers fiscal years 18 to 2023. We did discuss this item with your planning and programming committee, and they did recommend MBTA endorsement. And I do want to note that eligibility, of course, is that the project has to be in transaction, has to undergo HB 599, which was incorporated into transaction. And we do have to do the congestion reduction relative to cost evaluation for every project that is being considered for six-year program funding. Per your action tonight, the applications would be due on noon, December 15th, with the resolutions of support being due January 19th at noon. We're allowing an extra month for the resolutions of support. We realize it's the holiday season, and we can start evaluating pending the resolutions of support. For your reference, the project application is also included in the packet.
Any questions, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is item 11.
This is item 13.
12.
No, no. Oh, you have to say 12. Yes, I'm sorry. Item 12. They get really confusing. Especially when you have the thousands and the M's get in there, it's really weird. Yeah. This is item 12, the call for projects. This is the resolution that begins the process by which we will decide what gets funded in our 6-year plan.
Chair, I move the call.
Please?
I move the call.
Second.
Was it second? Did you have questions right?
No. I can't find it. No.
You like this, I promise you. Okay, any discussion on the call for projects? Mr. Mitchell, you.
I intend to ask if approval of this motion will approve the Prince William County Parkway.
No, and I assure you that Prince William County will not be requested in this process. Will not be requested. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. Okay.
Vote one no vote. Okay. Item 13, the approval of comments on the V-Trans 2040 draft recommendations on the Tier 1 needs.
So, Mr. Chairman, the Virginia Office of Intermodal Planning and Investment is leading an effort to develop and implement the statewide transportation needs assessment. And as part of this, it's called the V-Trans Multimodal Transportation Plan. And one of the key purposes of the needs assessment is to serve for a screen for projects applying for consideration for smart scale prioritization and funding. All projects submitted for smart scale process must pass through an initial screening. I do want to note that the Commonwealth consultants did come out and meet with the RJAC earlier this year. We did submit a comment letter back in February. Since then, there have been recommendations for the Tier 1 needs. And on page 3 of the memo are the recommended staff comments that we would like to convey regarding the Tier 1 needs recommendation. It's our understanding that there is funding available for Tier 1, over $1 billion for a 10-year time frame, Ms. Hines. I'm sorry. There is funding available for 10 years. And we do have these proposed comments on page 3.
So V-Trans is planned to be a somewhat constrained long-range plan for the state, and each region has kind of been given a guidance on how many projects they can move forward in V-Trans. But the other thing that I would say, which I think is very important, is that to be submitted for Smart Scale, a project does not have to be in the Tier 1 list. So there is more flexibility, but the Tier 1 list is a statement of some set of priorities. So I just want to, it's not as hard and fast as you have to be in transaction to be funded by MBTA. There's more flexibility in this, in the way this is constructed. But there, the thought is that over the life of the plan, which would be about five years and $5 billion, 10 years and $5 billion, that approximately 20% of that money would probably come to Northern Virginia.
Further discussion, questions?
Would that be the place where we would plug in this Evergreen Mills?
No.
It would not?
No. This is the state plan.
this is the state plan. Although Loudoun County could request it in the next round of smart scale funding, regardless of whether it ends on this document or not. V-Trans is not determinative the way that transactions. Non-transaction can't even ask for it. V-Trans, you can ask for things that aren't in it. It's just a straw man. I would say
there was definitely in the conversations that they had all over Northern Virginia with staff people and with other people, they tried very hard to listen to what people saw as sort of the next set of needs. So there's a set of things that are funded, there's a set of things that are somewhat ready to go for Smart Scale, and this Tier 1 also has, if you could pick any next set of projects after that, that they're big. These are not small projects. These are big projects.
And staff are just requesting some clarification on how the projects were selected for Tier 1 and what's the process regarding coordination with the localities in which the projects.
And I would say at the end, and this isn't something that people don't know, each CTP member had an opportunity to help shape the prospective project list.
Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One no vote?
You need a person to
say. Oh, we did get a motion? Okay, I'm sorry. Do we have a motion? Can't take the vote.
We have approval.
Motion by Mr. McKay, second by?
Second
by Ms. Randall. Now, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One no vote for Mr. Hugo.
Mr. Norrie, I really should abstain.
That's probably. Yeah. No vote for Mr. Hugo, abstention for Ms. Hines. Item 14, call for projects for the FY 2024 CMAQ and RSTP program.
So, Mr. Chairman, several years ago, the Commonwealth Transportation Board instructed Northern Virginia, who are at the MBTA level, we are responsible for making CMAQ and RSTP recommendations to the CTV for funding. We are now seeking your approval for a call for projects for FY 2024. The Commonwealth instructed us that they would like us to do it for the life of the six-year program instead of doing it in one-year increments. So now last year we did FY 2023. We are preparing for the programming of these projects or recommended programming of these projects to the CTV for fiscal year 2024. We estimate that $80 million or so in CMAQ and RSTP revenues will be available if the programs exist in 2024.
Questions?
Did the General Assembly and some of the members maybe here can answer that? Did they actually explain why they wanted to be done different from here on?
I think, and this happened a few years ago, I think that there was a misconception that the monies weren't being advanced quick enough, and so they had a list of projects that were still on the books, but the money had actually been spent,
okay.
So they wanted to try to synchronize that.
Okay.
Does any of this money go to any of the quarters of significance, statewide quarters of significance?
It tends to be small projects.
I would say for the CMAQ, no, because of the restrictions with the CMAQ.
CMAQ is all sidewalks and shared.
Projects that benefit air quality.
Shared parking.
For RSTP.
The RSTP, I think we've had some funding for Route 28, maybe, and Route 1 that we had.
Those were small amounts.
Really flexible funds.
Yes, they're a lot more flexible than
CMAQ. So generally, localities use the RSTP funds either to fund relatively small projects, a couple million dollars, or to top off funds. We had a $30 million project to turn into a $32 million project. You can find this. So Route 28 in Bristow area, the widening between Linton Hall Road and Vin Hill Road, probably got some of this funding in Prince William. Route 1 in Prince William got it. I think Fairfax County has used some of it for Route 7 over the years, which are all corridor statewide significance. But bloody none of it is being used on the North-South Corridor, if that's helpful.
I move approval of the call.
Motion for Mr. Parrish. Second.
Second
by Mr. McKay. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 15, approval of endorsement of Fairfax and Loudoun County's Tiger Grant applications and Fairfax and Prince William County's infra program applications.
Mr. Chairman, the draft letters of endorsement are included in your packet.
Please ask a question. Are we approving these all in block?
That was the plan, although if there's a need to split it out.
I think it's that.
Okay. Second. Okay. Motion from Ms. Randall, second from Mr. McKay. All we're doing is blessing the jurisdiction's request. These are not our requests.
These are not our requests.
Okay. Any discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
No opposed.
Was it?
I just want to.
Oh, please.
I need to abstain.
An abstention, Mr. Cole.
Sorry. I jumped the gun.
And I gotta say, I have to admit, you know what? I'm usually good at acronyms. I don't know what INFRA stands for.
They just changed the name.
Is INFRA now, as well as Musical Tiger now INFRA?
Yeah.
No, it's different. It's used to be called, Projects of National Security.
America.
Yeah. Okay.
That, yeah.
Very good. I didn't know that one.
Just reading.
He's reading it.
I learned about it a couple days ago, but I'm repeating it because I asked this question.
Those are all of our action items. We have a number of discussion items. Is there anything here that's not in our packet that needs to be discussed before that needs to be discussed? Yes.
I would just like everybody to be aware that we're beginning the process of Monica's annual evaluation.
Yes.
And at some point in the next 6 to 8 weeks, you'll get some kind of an email with asking you to fill out a survey. And we would just ask that when you get it, that you do it.
I have a question here.
Yeah.
In her evaluation, can I comment on those fabulous shoes?
Thank you.
Only women can do that. So, cannot.
Planning and programming, no report. Finance, no report. Mr. Parrish?
I plan on commenting.
No report from finance committee.
The report from the finance, first of all, two things. The finance committee is hardworking. Thank you all, including staff, particularly, perhaps. And secondly, we have another meeting next month, and they did good work.
Ms. Hines gave a governance and personnel report just now.
Okay.
Got them by the thing. Any of these other, Ms. Backman, any other items you need to report to us?
Just in my executive director's report, reminding you that your November 9th meeting will be at the Sherwood Community Center. Thank you, Mayor Meyer, for providing that facility. You will be celebrating your 15th anniversary. You will have a business meeting prior to the start of that event.
Which reminds me, I guess I'll climb on to the governance personnel report. We'll only have three agenda items next month. It'll be a fairly truncated meeting. There's not a lot of action items needed, frankly. One of them will be the potential adoption of our legislative program. Ms. Hines and I will be sending out a draft of that sometime in the next week or two once the consultant gets his final language. What I would suggest is we'll send that as a separate item, separate from the agenda. If you have comments, concerns, please send them to Ms. Hines and Ms. Baynard before the meeting, so we want to try to keep it out of the weeds, if we will. And a question I'll ask for our three legislative members is: in years past, some legislators have abstained from it. Do you want to receive the draft? It's fine. I mean, I'm objecting to having it sent. Okay. Some legislators have passed that I don't want to see the legislative report. It's a choice. So we'll send that as well. I'm going to, one last comment on my part. At this meeting a year ago, we were also in the middle of the baseball playoffs, and Ms. Backman made the mistake of acknowledging her favorite team. So with that, meeting adjourned.
It's 1-1 in the box.